Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be starting the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Have you ever heard a sermon that blew your mind? Something that cut you in two, turned you to goo in the inside, and blew your brain out your head? Matthew chapter 5 is Jesus' version of the greatest sermon ever preached. It was a jaw-dropping sermon that Matthew records in detail, and we're told at the end of it in chapter 7, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as teachers of the law. And the law was exactly what this sermon was about. Jesus' main point is, the law cannot make you righteous. But somehow, the religious teachers had gotten it backwards, teaching that obeying the law made you righteous before God, when in fact, the law was introduced, according to Paul, to tell us that we needed a deeper righteousness than we could ever earn ourselves. So let's join the crowds following Jesus and get a sneak peek at what his preaching was actually like. Let's listen in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. We call these statements the Beatitudes, and there are 8 of them in total. But I want you to notice 2 things. Jesus used the word blessed or blessed. When God gave his people the law, he told them, you'll be blessed if you obey, but further cursed if you disobey the law. So when Jesus says blessed, he perked the ear of every Jew there speaking to their secret longing. They deep down wanted to know God's blessing on their lives. But Jesus doesn't talk about outward obedience. Instead, he talks about inward character. That's the first thing. He describes things like being poor in heart, being meek, being pure of heart. But I said I wanted you to pay attention to 2 things. So what's the second thing? Well, each beatitude not only tells you about the inward character of a blessed person, it says that there is blessing or reward in the future. Note the future tense. Let's read back over some examples. They shall inherit the earth. They will be shown mercy. They will be filled. That's right. It's all future. Jesus is telling the crowd that blessedness doesn't always receive its reward now. Years ago, missionaries arrived home to America after being on the same ship as a famous individual. After the press showed up and took a bunch of pictures, the missionaries had to remind themselves, that's okay, we don't get our reception because we're not home yet. Jesus tells those who exemplify the Beatitudes in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me let you in on a little secret here. Jesus is the light of the world, but if we're transformed and blessed, in other words, if we have those qualities in the Beatitudes, it's because his light is in us. Remember, Jesus was poor in spirit. He was meek. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness. He was pure in heart, merciful. He was a peacemaker. And if we shine out, it's his light we're shining. But they didn't know that just yet. What they did know was the law. That big book of over 1,000 commandments that seems so hard to keep. And Jesus has news for them. It's here to stay. Verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. How could the law be fulfilled? It's as if Jesus is saying, nobody's ever been able to live it out yet. It still is unfulfilled. And at the same time, Jesus is saying God won't lower his standards for anyone. Not one jot or tittle will pass away. I'm glad Jesus said this about the law because many people want Jesus to just wish it away for them. Like what God said before about our behavior doesn't matter. But Jesus is about to shift again from outward obedience and show us we're all lawbreakers in our hearts. Verse 21, you have heard it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. But if anyone says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Whoa. So from this, we're learning that the law that only deals with outward behavior seems pretty easy. I mean, most of us haven't murdered yet, right? But God sees the murder that lives in our heart. We may not be taking people's lives out there on the street, but what good does that do us if we're going around killing people all day in our minds? Is that what God wants in our hearts? So maybe the law is there as a barrier to keep us from acting out the evil that's already inside us. Okay, on to what the law says about adultery in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Okay, kids, you may have to leave the room here. Now, I read this for years in the wrong way. Most people think that Jesus is taking the law of adultery and saying, hey, let me give you an even harder one. Don't lust, ever. But Jesus is actually not replacing the law, which is impossible to keep, with another law even more impossible to keep. Nope. He's trying to show us that like the murder command, none of us can truly keep the law. We're all guilty. This is not the new and improved don't lust command. This is Jesus leveling us, showing us all that adultery is in all of our hearts. That's why Paul, who thought he was completely righteous in Romans 7, confesses, when the law said, do not covet. I found every covetous desire sprang up within me. To covet, by the way, means to lust. Paul thought he was righteous by his own efforts and obedience, keeping the law outwardly until he encountered the 10th commandment that dealt with lusting in his heart, and he found suddenly he couldn't control it. This is why Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. You see, the Pharisees were trying so hard to be perfect that Jesus is actually mocking them, saying, you're going to have to start hacking off body parts if you're trying to get to heaven by your own obedience and efforts, because those body parts, they're going to be causing you to sin. But if you thought that command was hard, this next one is proof of God's existence. When someone can love and forgive their enemies, it's completely supernatural. Jesus asked them what they're doing more than the pagans if they only forgive or love the people that love them. In verse 48, he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, Jesus is saying that when you're righteous, you're different. And at this point, Jesus is describing himself. He's the one that loves his enemies. He's the one that shows grace to the unjust. He's the one who greets the unbeliever with a sunset every morning. But us, we're just like the pagans next to us if we're honest. That is, if we're left to ourselves. Then Jesus says something completely daunting in verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus, I'm pretty far from perfect. I'm afraid that ship has sailed. But let's go back to something Jesus said earlier in the sermon. Verse 20 is actually the heart of the entire thing. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. That was impossible to them. The Pharisees were the most righteous people they knew. And it is impossible to be more righteous on our own. That's why we need the righteousness of Christ. Our righteousness has to be perfect. And we never can do, be, or possess that by our own efforts. And that's what this sermon is about. This is where Jesus is prepping them for what he's about to do for them. So far in Matthew's gospel, we've been hearing about Jesus fulfilling righteousness and here fulfilling the law. And it's all been for us. Jesus is earning it for us by living the perfect life we could never live. And that, my friends, is why it's all about grace. God's law stays the same. His standards are changeless. But grace changes everything and gives us a righteousness not our own, the righteousness of Jesus.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.